Veterans Affairs wants to make it easier for veterans to find its services, something they've been at for quite a while now. One suggestion by Secretary Bob McDonald is to create a separate website, veterans.gov. But there's a problem. The Labor Department owns that URL. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about this situation in his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook. Jason joins me now to discuss a potential solution to the problem of labor and VA. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, this sounds like something that's all in the family that ought to be worked out easily. What's going on here?
Well, this all started back when Secretary McDonald talked about, he was at a Politico event and he said, you know, our websites have unusual names, eBenefits, My Healthy Vet. What's wrong with veterans.gov or vets.gov? And basically he was saying we got to make it easier. People don't understand the bureaucracy of government. And sometimes when veterans or whomever says, I just want to go figure out what I'm qualified for, where the government can help me, I want to go to a website that's easy to go to. But the problem is when he suggested that, I think he was, you know, kind of making a poke at the Labor Department, because when you go to veterans.gov, it's actually you get redirected to a Veterans Employment and Training Service, which the Labor Department has run since 2001. But the problem here is there's a, I think there's a case of miscommunication, or at least a dispute over how it should work. And what's a shame, Tom, for this is not so much that should labor own it, should VA own it, but there's a solution that actually exists that lets them both own it and makes it really easy on the citizen to find those services.
And so what is that solution? How can this possibly happen?
So you're going to take a trip with me, Tom, back to the Wayback Machine. That's what I said in my notebook, right?
Yes.
About 10 years ago, do you remember a site called benefits.gov?
Sure.
So this was part of the eGov initiatives started.
That's when everyone thought portals were the way of the future.
Portals,
right.
Exactly. Well, benefits.gov was part of the e-government initiatives, the old Quicksilver initiatives. I know Mark Forman and Karen Evans out there are cringing a little bit if they're listening. But the idea behind this was let's three steps to citizen service. Remember that. Let's figure out how to make it easy for citizens to find services. So labor was the managing partner, and this was something that came up from a group of senior government officials who said, we'll connect all the benefits to one portal, and then if a user finds that portal, hopefully, they can then find all the benefits that they're qualified for, and then they can go to the next step. During that process of developing this, by 2004, labor developed a way to customize the front end. So the back end would be this Gov Benefits engine, but the front end could say the veterans or agriculture or interior or whatever services the government provided, but still use the and benefit from that back end engine that is running through benefits.gov. And in fact, I have sources who tell me that both VA and labor were in deep discussions to create what they call a new skin, the top layer of benefits.gov, to really focus on veterans and then use that back-end engine, even develop something called an API, which back in 2004, 2005, that was not even part of our lexicon yet when it came to IT. And long story short, Tom, is this just never happened. So now we have this, I'll call it a little bit of a disagreement, a dispute, discussion maybe between VA and labor about who should own veterans.gov and whether one or the other is better or what makes the most sense. Well, they have the answer, and that's this. The front end of benefits.gov can really, with this new customization, it's not so new anymore, it's 10 years old, but this discussion seems to be the bigger problem of as you said, Tom, it should be able to be solved inside the family.
It sounds like, you know, Chevrolet arguing with Saturn, you know, under the GM rubric, you know, nobody wins. Well, you know, I would say to both of them that the site is owned by the people of the United States, not by the Labor Department or the Veterans Affairs Department, which would give it a different type of argument. So are they talking about putting hiring information for veterans and other benefits for veterans under benefits.gov, or redoing veterans.gov so it also includes those things, but the back end that calculates all of this information, the engine, is benefits.gov?
Well, that's what we're not sure what they're talking about. Now, benefits.gov still exists. You can go there. You can fill. I went there last night, filled out the forms just to see what, you know, kind of, if I was a veteran, if I lived in a city, what would I be qualified for? And, you know, the process works. It took you to, for instance, for my case, my example was just around housing. Could I find housing? How could the government help me? And it took me right to the FHA and some other benefits that I could then apply for, or at least go to the site to apply for, which that's a whole different discussion about why can't you just apply right there. But we don't know what the discussions are between labor and VA. I reached out to both agencies. A VA spokeswoman tells me, veterans will be given access to programs information regardless of the webpage. The cross-agency collaboration is in the spirit of MyVA, and VA is committed to working with its partners to provide transitioning service members, veterans, and their families meaningful career opportunities. Not a lot of there in terms of what they're doing with labor. A labor spokesman tells me, you know, labor works closely with VA, a number of other agencies. That includes defense, education, energy, transportation, agriculture, HUD, SBA. And they say that they are in discussions with the veterans.gov website, but that's as far as they would go, that there have been, you know, some future discussions about it. But going back to the idea of benefits.gov, this has existed for a decade, and they're just not, and maybe staffs aren't telling Secretary McDonald, hey, we could do this and we could do this very easy. Or maybe they don't want to do it because it's not invented here. I don't own it. And this is somebody else's. This is labor's solution. I want my own solution.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And this gets to a bigger question, which is the proliferation of federal websites. And this is something the administration decried when it came in. And then it's proceeded to completely blow up that notion, and there are every week, it seems, there's a new .gov for this or that, agile.gov and this .gov, that .gov. And so any progress on narrowing this down so that the public, who this is ostensibly for, would have fewer places to go to find what it looks for?
I think that's the question that also has to be asked around this Labor Department VA discussion. So I asked GSA, who was given back in December of 2014 the authority to oversee all new .gov domains, and a spokeswoman tells me it's currently there are 1,351 what they call federal second-level domains, such as GSA.gov. Now, that's down from about 1,900 of those second-level domains in 2011, so roughly about 600 fewer over the last 4 years. And when they talk about specific agency websites, those are down from about 2,000 in 2011 to about 1,350 today. And what they call addressable subdomains, microsites, URLs. So if you go to GSA.gov and then you go GSA.gov/FAS for Federal Acquisition Service, that's a subdomain or a microsite or another URL. And those have dropped significantly. They're down to about 29,000, just under 30,000 of those, down from about 66,000 as of 2011. So you can see that even though, as you said, there seems to be this, every time you turn around, there's a new .gov this and .gov that, GSA says there's actually fewer overall over the last 4 years.
Well, I smell maybe another 30-day sprint coming this way to clean out the attic here of all these websites. But I guess the government and this administration keeps professing its love of all things Silicon Valley. And one of the granddaddies of Silicon, not really one of the grandchildren of Silicon Valley, we should say, is Amazon, which everybody is talking about these days. And you go to Amazon.com and you can buy anything on earth. And under Amazon.com, there are millions of places to go, but it's pretty easy to get to from Amazon.com. Is there any talk about using that model for the government, which we've heard from time to time, but it's never really materialized?
I think the initial idea was make it easy. You know, back when we talked about going back again to the eGov initiatives, the idea was make it easy for people to find information. That is still the overall theme. Don't complicate it. You know, that's why the idea of benefits.gov was such a good idea at the beginning, because it aggregated all this information that already exists and did not force the user to go to HUD for housing or to SBA for loans or to, you know, agriculture for farming help. It could go one place and then use that rules engine to go there. So I think that was what this Amazon model that you talked to was really the thought was a precursor to Amazon in many ways. But it just, for whatever reason, it hasn't caught on like many people thought it should. And I think, Tom, that this outgrowth, this disagreement between labor and VA, or this discussion, whatever you want to call it, this debate, is an outgrowth from that lack of use of something like benefits.gov and other portals.
All right, I guess everyone wants to have their own imprimatur on something, and maybe that's what's driving all of this. And while we have you, Jason, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that Agile Development BPA. And that's just, is that open for business now? And there's going to be more connected to it as they award more contracts?
Well, we always have the protest period. It is worth $25 million over 5 years. So it does reach that threshold that that someone could protest the GAO. And there were 88 bids on this, what they call the pool, third pool, which is the full and open pool for design and development. So a bid protest is not maybe unexpected. We'll have to see how it goes. The other piece of this is because this was such a new way that what GSA did, they went through this approach in such a different way that that may also lead to protests. So we're going to have to wait and see over the next week. But if they can make it through the next week without a protest, then it becomes open for business as soon as possible. And I think there's a lot of excitement, a lot of need for this Agile Development Services. The one question I'll throw at you, Tom, is whether 18F can move fast enough to say, yeah, this beta version, let's move it to the to initial operating capability so it can open up for all of government. Or will this take so long that other agencies will look at them and go, we're going to just set up our own because we can't wait for them?
Well, we'll have to see. But I was thinking, you know, looking at some of the companies that did win, including Booz Allen and PricewaterhouseCoopers and a couple of other biggies, it seems like the 72 that did not make it can simply try to become subcontractors to those big guys.
And one of the things that 18F has talked very clearly about is they are going to have on-ramps and off-ramps. They thought these 16 are the best 16, but if, you know, one company just is not performing well, you know, two or three task orders in, they could be said, you know what, thanks, guys, appreciate your service, we're kicking you off, and then we're going to bring in company Y because we believe that they're ready to go and we believe they're a better fit. So that's interesting. You usually don't see that on big contracts like this, on-ramps and off-ramps.
And the other big question is, does the federal government as a whole, which would presumably use this BPA, I mean, these are all Schedule 70 contractors, but the BPA puts it all in one place, makes it easy to order in theory. Is there that much demand for Agile development, meaning do enough agencies understand why they could use Agile to be able to go subscribe to that BPA?
So the one thing about the BPA we got to be clear about is this is only for 18F. That's why it's called the beta stage.
So it's not for other federal agencies.
This is not for other federal agencies yet. What 18F hopes to do is in, you know, 3 to 6, 9 months is create a second BPA that would be for government-wide use, but they are just testing it out for only 18F. Now, other agencies can contract, if you will, or buy services from 18F and get access to this BPA. So in some ways, any agency can use it, but they have to go through 18F versus just going directly to one of these 16 vendors initially and buy Agile services directly from them.
So for those agencies that want to buy Agile services and they can't use the BPA, it seems to me the BPA is a good reference to, well, I think I'll try DSoft or I'll try Flexicon or something, or one of those companies, or at least make sure that they get my request for proposals.
Correct. They could go through Schedule 70, write a full, you know, solicitation, an RFQ, and invite these 16 to bid. That's outside the BPA. Now, the BPA, what the BPA does with any multiple award IDIQ type contract is set some terms and conditions. So you'd have to work under the Schedule 70 terms and conditions. But yes, this is a great starting reference point. And I think, Tom, just to go back to the other question, there is this growing desire for Agile. I mean, all the CIOs I talk to for my show, Ask the CIO, Agile is always something that comes up. Say we're at least trying it, we're using it in small doses, we'd like to do more of it. So I think there's this need to find companies who are qualified.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thanks so much for that update.
My pleasure, Tom.